what you should absolutely not do is go out and, you know, blast out some content all with the same exact match anchor text using blog networks or something similar, because that is likely to get you into trouble.
This is Superfast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. You are actually listening to part two of a three-part series called Counterintuitive SEO Tune-Up Series, where James Reynolds from SEOpartner.com and I have been looking at some of the tests that have been run regarding SEO results and seeing some of the surprising results. If you haven't listened to part one, please go and listen to part one before you listen to this, because it'll set you up nicely for where we're at. In that episode, we looked at if click-through rate affects rankings. We had a look at Mobilegeddon and how that impacted search results. And we were seeing if Google displays more rich answers in search results. But in this episode, we've got a few more theories to test. And the first one is exact match anchor text and if it harms rankings. So I welcome my guest, James Reynolds, to discuss this very topic.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Doing well. So interesting feedback from our previous episode, a few myths exposed, and I'm sure that there's been some new mobile-ready websites and some better calls to action being put up on the internet of late.
Let's hope so. Yeah, let's hope so. All right.
So, exact match anchor text, can it harm rankings? First off,
what is it?
You know what I'm going to ask you, right?
Yeah. What is it? Okay. So, exact match anchor text. Well, let's, I guess, first determine what anchor text is. Anchor text is the text, clickable text element that's in a link that points to your website. So, an example, if you have a third-party website mentioning you within their content and there's a hyperlink from that content through to your website, the actual text component of that is what's called the anchor text.
Yes.
So an exact match anchor text is when you have in the text itself the exact keyword that you're trying to rank for. So if we were, let's say, pest control, Sydney was the keyword that we're wanting to rank for, the actual text, the clickable text through to our website would say pest control Sydney. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I've heard it described before as it's like a voting system, you know, back in the early days of SEO.
Yeah.
It was pretty easy to manipulate the search results by literally getting yourself more votes. If you had 100 people on the internet pointing back to your website and they all said Sydney pest control, then Google could easily figure out that's what you're all about. You must be a good Sydney pest controller, because all these people say so with their links. And the evolution of that was there were whole industries set up around, hang on, well, let's just put some more links out there with those exact words.
Yeah.
And it became a little bit gameable. And, and of course, entire networks got detonated when that game stopped. So it'd be interesting to see what it looks like in 2016 now.
Yeah. I guess just to, you know, add some you know, context to that, it should absolutely be something that Google do look at. You know, what is contained in that piece of text should give Google a clue as to what to find on the end of that link.
Well, it's still one of the only things they can look at.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like it's a pretty major thing to get a profile for a website is, so what does the link profile look like?
Yeah.
And it's definitely going to be a factor.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you rightly pointed out, you know, it is very easy to manipulate these things, especially if you're using, you know, automation or, you know, scripts or, you know, networks where you can sort of submit content and it just blasts it out on mass. So,
yeah, and can there be too much of a good thing? One must think.
Well, that's pretty much what this test was looking to find out. I mean, the general consensus has always been that it's better not to have too many links all saying the exact same thing. And the reason for that is it just does not look natural. If all of your links to your site all say Sydney pest control and nothing else, well, have those links actually been, you know, created by real people endorsing your website? It's highly unlikely, because generally people would use related phrases. They would use things like click here or visit this website, the brand name, etc. You'd expect to find a real varied mix of link types pointing to a site that is established and trustworthy. So generally everyone's thought, no, exact match anchor text is bad. Of course, SEOs, they should put this to the test. And this is what Rand Fishkin tested. So it was another test from Rand at Moz. Basically, what he did was he set up a couple of pages. He pointed 20 links at both pages. One had varied anchor text links and the other one just had links all saying the exact same keyword term. Surprisingly, what happened was the exact match anchor text like completely obliterated the varied one and outperformed it. I think it went up 19 positions for the exact match and only went up 5 positions for the varied anchor text. So it goes completely against what was thought to be true within SEO, which was, of course, quite interesting.
And did it have any other types of links pointed to it? Like, was that a very high ratio of the links coming to it, like 80 or 90% or 100%?
Yeah. In fact, I believe it was 100%.
Wow. So, you know, it sort of does go against what people would say things like Penguin were supposed to stop, is oversaturation of backlinks.
Yeah.
Would you say it's a good idea to try that campaign on your moneymaker?
No. I think there's some context that you need to. I guess the first one would be Google Penguin. Google Penguin is the element of the algorithm that gets updated really infrequently, you know, pretty much yearly at the moment until it gets rolled into the main algorithm. And that's the component that looks to weed out, you know, manipulative link building and find out who is actually going against Google's, you know, terms and trying to, you know, hoodwink them into, you know, better results. But because that only gets updated once per year, there is a chance that in this particular test example, Penguin wasn't at play. So, you know, Google have taken the signals from the anchor text link and they've returned that into higher rankings. But it's very likely that when Penguin next gets rolled out, that test site would in fact be impacted. So yeah, absolutely. I don't recommend people go and try it. You do want to have natural linking patterns because ultimately that's going to give you the longest, you know, longest term results and give you a very, you know, good baseline from which to work.
Right. So when you're doing SEO service provision, you're definitely paying attention to the ratio of links coming to a site that have the exact text. And you are going to make sure that it helps Google understand what the page is about. But you do want to leave a little buffer of margin there because unfortunately with SEO, one of the great dangers is if you happen to take brinkmanship one step too far, you can be out of the rankings altogether, at least until the next update. And in some cases, that could be a few years if you don't know what caused it. In the worst cases, it could be forever.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, you just get a little warning and you can submit it to be reinstated. But the name of the game is to not push the envelope. Let the R&D team do that on test sites like Rand did. Does it on a test site that it won't matter if it blows up. In fact, when you are testing, the whole point is to see what you can blow up and what doesn't blow up and then try and work out where the line is so that you don't have to touch the force field with your own site.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was interesting. So it's a result that is surprising, but it's not necessarily a prescription to go out and emulate it.
Absolutely not. And with all these tests, you have to take them within context because no one ranking signal is, you know, finite, if you like. It doesn't sit in its own silo. There's other factors at play, such as the other ranking factors and how they relate to this individual one. So it's very difficult to get a really, really accurate test result. And you always have to think about, well, what else could be occurring here?
And there could be so many things. It could be the server it's on or the domain history, if any, or the time that it's put out or the competitiveness of the term. And just because it works now doesn't mean it will work in the future. And certainly anyone scientific based would want to see at least, you know, 30 or 100 test sites performing the exact same way to get a little bit more confidence around it.
Yeah. So I think probably some takeaways here would be that certainly what is contained within a link to your site will absolutely give Google a clue about what that content should be ranked for. So somewhere within your link profile, if you want to rank for that keyword, either if that's an exact match link or a close to exact match link, that's going to be helpful, but ensure that it's part of a rounded link profile. And the way you can influence that is, you know, with your own content, if you want to rank for a specific term, make sure that that post is optimized for that keyword. So as an example, the 16 SEO experiments post, the term that I wanted to rank for with that was SEO experiments. It's contained in the post title. So when people start referencing that post, they're going to link to it through 16 SEO experiments or something similar. But they'll do it in a natural and varied manner because they're individual people creating it. So there's ways that you can influence that naturally. What you should absolutely not do is go out and, you know, blast out some content all with the same exact match anchor text using blog networks or something similar, because that is likely to get you into trouble.
Dicey. And you know, just the fact that you're using a blog network spells danger.
Absolutely.
So if they get one, it becomes a magician's handkerchief. They just keep dragging the whole thing. And thankfully, you know, that game ended quite many years ago.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of people in the whole SEO industry are gone. People who were there 6 years ago, no longer there. It was just too hard and they moved on because they weren't paying attention to this stuff. Let's talk about text surrounding a link impacting search rankings. I guess you'd call this proximity.
Yeah, you'd call this proximity. And it's almost like an extension, if you like, of the exact match anchor text. It's basically saying...
It is, isn't it? So if we're not linking the... it's not the words that are linked, but it's the ones right next to them.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so the belief is that Google are going to look at what surrounds that link to get context again about what the linked to page is about. So, you know, does the text before or after the link affect the ranking of the target page? So if you have the keyword not in the link itself but next to the link, does that help Google, you know, determine what the page is about, and does it ultimately affect rankings?
And how did the experiment go?
Yeah, well, this one was run by Dan Petrovich, and what he did was set up four variations. One was the keyword in the text surrounding a raw link. So a raw link would be like HTTP, you know, colon, and then the website name. So just actually the raw text link. The second variation he set up was the keyword surrounding the anchor text click here. So just generic anchor text. The third one was actually the exact match anchor text itself, as we were just describing with Rand's test. And then the fourth one was an image link. So an image on a third-party website that had the keyword that he wanted to test actually within the alt text or the alt tag of the image, and then that image linked through to the target website. So what he was expecting to find was that the exact match anchor text would work best, based also on the testing that Rand had done, and that the close proximity would probably perform second and the image results would come fourth. What happened was almost the reverse of that. So the image link actually performed best. The exact match anchor text was second, but the text links with the keyword surrounding the hyperlink actually didn't get indexed or rank at all. So this one was quite surprising, to say the least.
So what does that actually mean for us? How does that tie back to the point we just made about exact match anchor text is supposedly being better?
Yeah, so it's, well, I guess the biggest takeaway here is that image links, you know, at least in this test result, they work really, really well. So maybe in a moment we can talk about how we might develop those. But I guess it just adds fuel to the fire that actually, you know, a varied profile is going to be best for you. So here, image links worked best. You know, we've seen that exact match anchor text can work really well. You want a really varied and rounded link profile. Links from many places, many different sources, many different types is ultimately going to work best for you. And doing what you can to create those is the obvious step.
Right. So is it time to talk about the image link, because they sound appealing?
Yeah. So image links can come in all sorts of different types, but ultimately, if you want to get images, you know, linking through to your website, the way you're going to do that is to create linkable assets, image assets that people might, you know, want to place on their own site, and when they do, reference your site for the placement. So great examples would be things like what you do on your site, James, where you do sort of custom images for posts with quotes and stuff. Because those are beautifully designed and people like the content, I'm sure they'll want to, you know, share those or maybe even place them on their own site where relevant. And, you know, if they're doing the right thing, they should then, you know, link from that image through to your website. So certainly create linkable assets. Infographics are another great example of that. Really share-worthy content. And if you've, you know, mentioned your brand or the target URL on those infographics, when people start to place them on their own sites and share them, you know, if they're good marketers, they should be then linking back to your site from the image itself. So create linkable assets. And then the second sort of action step that relates to that would be to ensure that the keyword phrase that ultimately you want to rank for, you know, for that piece of content is included in the alt text of the image itself. And alt text is basically the descriptive tag that you give to an image to help the search engines better understand what that picture is actually about.
Yeah. Well, like you said, we use a lot of images. Like, firstly, our standard operating procedure is every post has an image. It's not negotiable. Often we've linked the image back to the post because we know the image will get ranked in the search results because we name our images properly and give them the right properties. So people might find the image but not the post. So they click on it, they get taken to the post.
Yeah.
And the same for when we send it out in emails, that they click on the image, it will go to the post. And lately we've been really doing some great stuff with Pinterest where people love to collect images and pin them, and that has quite a good result. We've built up 1,300 followers since we started pinning stuff, even from our own site.
Yeah.
Which is a nice way to leverage it. But, you know, images are big. You look at things like Instagram, Facebook, how visual is it? It just makes sense. And often when you're searching for things, you're going to see mixed results popping up in the search page.
Mm.
And people do often click on the image tab to see what something looks like, and they can click on the image and they can visit the site. So using the images as a front door is such an amazing technique. So naming your images properly and always linking them. I learned this also from when I did heat maps on my site. There's always spots. They just light up on any kind of thing that you would think might be clickable. Any kind of image is going to get clicks.
Yeah.
So hyperlink your images and you name it properly, and you can take advantage of internal linking, like linking between your own content, and you can also cross-link between your site and other people's sites.
Mm. There's one thing I would add that's also important is to actually see who's used your images by doing a Google image search and then approaching them if they haven't then given you attribution for that picture. If you're creating assets like you are, James, you know, frequently for all of your posts, you know, it's great to actually then do a search and find out where they've been used. And then you can approach those website owners and say, hey, you know, really appreciate you sharing my image on your site. You know, would you care just to reference us, you know, say image source by superfastbusiness.com, and encourage them to link? And, you know, I think that's fair exchange for using your picture. And most people would say
it is a fair exchange.
Yeah.
And another site is tineye.com.
Mm.
If you want to find out where your images are hiding, it's much like the technique of finding out where you're mentioned on other sites and just asking if they mind putting a link.
Absolutely.
Where they mention your name or your website.
Yeah. You'll find really, you know, high returns. It's a little, you know, a little bit of effort to, you know, go and find those people and then email them. But I'm sure, you know, a member of your team could do that. But you'll get high returns. I mean, the majority of people that you, you know, contact will then put a link because it is, as we say, it's a fair exchange. And that's really going to help your search results. You know, those mentions and those inclusions of your images, et cetera, if they start linking through to your site, it's going to give you a really nice rounded link profile that really will affect your search rankings.
So on the topic of text surrounding a link, you've told me that it probably does a little bit.
Yeah. It does a little bit.
I would have thought it makes sense. I would have thought if I'm Google, I'm going to have a look at what's around that link to see if it all makes sense. If they're talking about spaghetti, are they talking about tomato sauce or grated Parmesan cheese or pasta on that page? Or is it just someone's injected a link in the middle of nowhere to scam me?
Yeah.
So I think that that does make sense, and it's a good tip, which leads us to the next one.
Yeah.
And the final one for this part of the series, press release links. Do they help rankings?
Yeah. So this one, I guess, relates a little bit to web spam also. And the way that this test came about was as a result of a statement that a guy called Matt Cutts from Google made, and he's the spam czar, if you like. He's the one that is sort of heading up Google's spam team, trying to find out, you know, what manipulative tactics people are using and then eradicate them. And he's really a spokesperson for that whole team. So he announced, I think back in 2014, that essentially the press release links do not work, and it's not a valid strategy for people to implement to try and gain more links to their site. And the context for this is, if you put out a press release and you syndicate it through a press release service, that's essentially you building links to yourself, right? If you've included a link in the press release, it gets distributed to several places. Those links point back to your website. Those are not really earned links. They're essentially bought links, for a want of a better description. So those types of links shouldn't have really any effect, or at least not anywhere near as much effect as unrelated third party creating a bit of content, you know, liking your website, endorsing it, and then linking through to your website from their own content.
But what if it's a newspaper that's writing an article about Trump, and then they were to quote something from a Trump produced press release? It's still, you know, that's just getting a quote from the source, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think there's a distinction to make here. If it's the actual press release that you have produced and syndicated, then that really shouldn't have any, you know, SEO value to it. But if you've produced a press release and that's got you attention with a leading newspaper, and then they do an interview or they write a column, and then they, you know, they believe the story is so interesting that they then want to link through to your site and reference you, then that should be a search influencing factor.
Well, I give you an example. In my world, the World Surfing League just purchased Kelly Slater's wave pool. So there's an article about it on all the news blogs, actually, and some of them quote the official press release.
Yep.
So that's a sort of a hybrid, isn't it? Where the press release has been issued and engineered and pushed out there, but then people pick up on it and report on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was the result of press release links? Do they help or not?
They do. And the actual environment for this test was kind of funny and ironic, actually, because the guys that were running it produced a press release about this whole statement that Matt Cutts had made. And in this press release, they used some sort of random made up keyword. And then in the press release, they linked to, of all places, Matt Cutts' blog.
Yep.
And what happened was, despite the fact that Matt Cutts had not got that keyword mentioned anywhere on his site, he was then, as a result of that press release, ranking number one in the search results for that keyword. And all it came from was one single press release. So they do work, but again, giving some context, there's probably far more valuable link sources that you should be focusing your attention on, as opposed to trying to build links en masse with, you know, press release publication. And I guess secondary to that, as we just pointed out, you know, you should be using press releases in your marketing, but you shouldn't be using them as a link building strategy. They're a way to get the message out and get attention that then could spin off onto all these other benefits that will ultimately affect your search ranking and your business as a whole.
So did they use the exact anchor text for this made up word?
They did. So there you go. A little bit more proof on that one, I guess. Yeah.
Yep. Backs up the old anchor text theory, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's how the whole anchor text thing started, from some campaign where they were linking to a president or something, from memory, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And that's how I became aware of it. And now it still works with made up words. So I think that's a great way to test what happens, is using something that's never appeared before.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That will give you a true and rich answer. If it's nowhere else, and, you know, it's only this one influencing factor that could have, you know, reaped the result, then that's going to be pretty definitive.
Yeah. I did that too. I actually invented a word that doesn't appear anywhere else, and I have the only results for it. And then I started seeing who scrapes it and picks it up and manipulates it in a really fascinating way. Mm. That's the sort of stuff an R&D team does for full-time living, is to observe. So it's like running a trace dye through your body to see, you know, how it's flowing through your organs for x-rays and stuff.
Yeah.
So that wraps up this part two of our three-part series. So far, we've been covering all sorts of counterintuitive SEO ideas so that you can tune up your website. So what do we need to do now, James, for our own campaign when it comes to press releases?
Well, I would encourage, you know, listeners to utilize press releases when they have something that is genuinely newsworthy and interesting, because the secondary benefits you get of that, if you get wide exposure of your press release, will be things like, you know, interview requests and, you know, blog mentions and news stories and stuff like that. But you have to have an interesting story that is going to yield those second tier results. Don't just, you know, announce the opening of a, you know, an envelope, you know, make sure it's interesting. You've got a real valid point to say. And case in point, you know, we still use press releases from time to time at SEOpartner.com. And we did one last week for a client, and within a day or so of it being released, they had several interview requests coming in. And that was because it was a valid news story. So those secondary benefits, you know, will be useful. But yeah, as I say, don't use it as your primary link building strategy. It's not going to be the best use of your time.
Right. So if you've got real news, then it's something you could put in your armory.
Yeah.
In our next series, we're going to be talking about negative SEO and about outbound links. That's linking away from your site. And what happens when links are removed? So that's what we've got to look forward to in the next episode. In the meantime, if you need some help with your SEO, head over to SEOpartner.com and see what James Reynolds' team have for you. They do good work, and we'll catch up with you on the next episode.
Thanks, James.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.